When it comes to packaged food, how do you figure out what's healthy and what's not?
What's so special about her?
4.5 stars. She's like a galaxy.
Back in 2011, then-Minister for Food Safety Nikki Kaye announced a new way for New Zealanders to make healthy choices.
Last week, I was pleased to announce New Zealand's intention to adopt a new Health Star Rating food labelling system.
And while it received industry support, there were some hiccups.
Begin this morning with the Health Star Rating. Are food producers managing to manipulate the only food labelling system designed to arm consumers with information about what's healthy for them?
Ratings are based on an algorithm that sifts through all the kilojoules, fibre, saturated fat, salts and sugars each product has. But how that algorithm allows some sugar-filled cereals to get top marks means something is going wrong.
Health Star Ratings are supposed to help us make better choices at the supermarket. The more stars, the healthier the food, right? But the system is voluntary and has led to some puzzlingly high ratings for sugary cereals.
The Health Star Ratings displayed on boxes of food in our supermarkets are supposed to help us make better food choices, but do they? One mum and food writer thinks they can actually do more harm than good.
And experts were critical.
This has been an experiment of government working with industry and with NGOs and academics to try to collectively come up with a system. And that does not work.
Yeah, I think the system is very broken. I think it misses the biggest issue in our diet. We're swimming in sugar in this country.
The food manufacturers have deliberately manipulated the recipe in order to get the most amount of stars. It undermines consumer confidence in the whole system.
Kia ora, I'm Davina Zimmer, and today on The Detail, is our health really written in the stars? The health rating system was introduced over a decade ago with the aim of making it easy for shoppers to identify the healthiest options within similar packaged food items. But it's had plenty of critics, with health experts calling it a broken, loopholed system that allows industry players to cherry-pick their ratings and avoid putting stars on the less healthy products. Belinda Castles, research and test writer at Consumer NZ, says there was a lot of confusion in the early days among shoppers over how to actually use it.
In our opinion, we don't think there's been enough education about how to use the Health Star Rating. We've also got lots of huge issues in other areas of food packaging, like unhealthy food being marketed to children, for example. You know, there's just a lot of things that need to all complement each other to make it easier for consumers to buy healthier food for their families.
Can you explain the Health Star Rating system to me?
So the Health Star Rating system is a front-of-pack food label. So it's intended to give consumers at-a-glance information about a packaged food's sort of overall nutritional value. So when food industry wants to calculate the rating, they put in all the figures in the nutrition information panel. So the energy content, the saturated fat, the sodium, the added sugar, and then the positive attributes, so like the fibre, the protein, etc. And then it spits out this number. It's compensatory, so the negative attributes compensate for the positive and vice versa. So that's why you might get a product that has a relatively high amount of sugar in it that still gets a relatively high Health Star rating, and that's where there's a little bit of confusion about the system.
If companies are adding things like fibre and protein into their products to give them a higher rating, it's ultimately making them healthier, which is what we want, right?
Correct. So, you know, one of the positives of a system like this is that it can encourage the food industry to reformulate their products and make them healthier. But, you know, that's great, but it needs to be, you know, what are they adding? What type of fibre are they adding? Is it actually making it a healthier product? You know, there's still relatively high levels of, say, sugar and sodium in these products. So it's really important that you sometimes have to dive into the extra information on the food label, which, of course, is not really the intention of the Health Star Rating either. There's actually a lot of confusion amongst consumers about how to use the rating. So firstly, it's intended for packaged foods normally. So it shouldn't be a substitute for following the healthy eating guidelines. So like, oh, gee, that packaged food has a 5-star rating. I should replace it. You know, I should eat less of the less processed foods, for example. It shouldn't be intended as that. And also, you can't compare sort of apples and pears because the calculation's different. So you should look at the cereal aisle and go, right, within this category, I can look at the different ratings, but I can't compare that box of cereal with, say, a box of crackers or a bottle of cooking oil. So you've got to really be comparing like for like to get the most benefit from it. When it was first implemented, we got quite a lot of queries about products that were, say, high in a particular nutrient, like the high sugar product that was still getting a high rating because consumers didn't understand that kind of compensatory calculation. And also in the early days, there was some kind of weird, misleading ways that companies were using the rating. So, for example, Milo.
New Zealand's iconic chocolate drink, Milo, is set to lose its Health Star rating.
Milo's 4.5 or 4.5 health rating star will be dropped, with Consumer New Zealand saying the chocolate powder is almost 50% sugar.
Back in the day, you buy a tin of Milo and it had a 4-star health rating on it, but then you looked at the back and that said, this is as prepared with skim milk. The actual Milo itself had a health star rating of, I think it was 1.5. So thankfully that loophole's been fixed up. But there was quite a few anomalies that made consumers mistrust the systems.
And so you mentioned Milo as a specific one. Have there been other foods that have been complained about for having misleading ratings?
Tended to be the high sugar cereals. So Nutri-Grain came to mind.
Hard work and a balanced diet with protein helps our kids grow up strong. Nutri-Grain is a high-protein cereal, so it has what it takes to help build them into Iron Men.
Do you know it's a relatively high-sugar product, and when they reformulated it became a 4-star health rating. So there was a little bit of up in arms about, you know, how can a product that is, you know, nearly a third sugar have this high health star rating.
Mm. And so I gave the calculator a go because it's online for anyone to use. And I put in two different muesli bars because that's what I always am in the aisles struggling to figure out which one's healthier. I put in a whole foods bar that had a total of 6 ingredients, which was like, you know, dried fruit, nuts, that sort of thing. And that came up to 2.5 stars. And then I put in a chocolate chip bar and that came out to 4 stars. How does that stack up?
Well, I think it's just important, you know, to for consumers to know it is an at a glance helpful when you're out shopping, but it's not shouldn't be the only consideration. I mean, if you're interested in how processed a food is, which is obviously really important, and picking one with fewer ingredients, it's really useful to check that ingredients list. I know we're all time poor, but even if you're buying a product for the first time, you know, look at the health star rating, but then just double check what's in the product, because some products have a hugely long list of ingredients that most of us wouldn't recognise.
Healthy eating guidelines advise people to limit their sugar intake, specifically added, concentrated and artificial sugars. But Belinda says it's difficult to do that because they're not listed separately on a product's nutrition label, and the Health Star rating looks at the total sugars, which also includes natural ones.
So it's really difficult to follow that good healthy eating advice. There is actually a lot of work being done by Food Standards Australia and New Zealand, and the Public Health and Consumer Groups in New Zealand have been putting a lot of work into defining added sugars because, again, that's really technical and complex. The natural sugars are sort of the ones that you would find basically naturally or intrinsically in a food product. So when you eat a piece of fruit, you've got the natural sugars within that fruit, but then you've got all the other good things wrapped around in that fruit, like, you know, the fiber and the vitamins and the minerals and things like that. But when you process that sugar into, say, a fruit juice or a fruit juice concentrate, you lose a lot of those positive attributes. And when you think about a fruit juice, it's multiple pieces of fruit, which you wouldn't be eating, say, 5 or 6 apples in one go, but you might easily drink that amount of sugar in one glass of juice. So it's sort of concentrating those sugars.
A review of the Trans-Tasman system in 2019 did recommend a tougher crackdown on products high in salt or sugar. It also suggested an automatic 5-star rating for minimally processed fruits and vegetables, but found overall the system was working well, which frustrated some health experts because it remained voluntary.
We'd welcome Minister Reti looking at the whole system and looking at the uptake targets. But I think it's also a good opportunity to look at the system as a whole. I mean, obviously the Health Star rating is misunderstood by consumers. It's a little bit confusing. There's other systems that we could perhaps look at. I mean, not throwing out the Health Star rating totally, but using some colour coding, which is what they've done in other countries. So, for example, you could potentially have products that have a higher rating being labelled green, and then say the 0.5s and 1s being red. I mean, you'd need to, you know, do some research into this about whether consumers would understand it, but there's definitely other systems in other countries where we could pull bits from, and even warning labels. You know, they've started to be used really successfully in, you know, Latin American countries. So, you know, have the rating, but also a sort of high in sugar, high in sodium approach to the front of labels. But, you know, at the end of the day, these warning labels or, you know, colour-coded health star ratings, they're only going to be effective and useful for consumers if they're mandatory, because if they're not mandatory, then companies, you know, why would they bother?
New Zealand Food Safety is the government body responsible for this area, and it's also the authority for imports and exports of food and food-related products. And its Deputy Director General, Vincent Arbuckle, backs the opt-in nature of the system.
I guess the intention was to bring industry along on the journey. It has got some, you know, there's milestones. There was a milestone point late last year at which the expectation is that 50% of eligible products would display Health Star rating. There's another milestone this year at 60%.
By the end of next year, Vincent says the goal is 70%, and that's when officials will look at how well the system's working.
The intention then is that the food ministers from New Zealand and Australia will then look at the uptake and determine whether a voluntary system is working or whether it needs a mandatory approach. We do understand that industry needs lead-in times, and for some of them we are seeing evidence that they're reformulating their products progressively to, you know, lower sugar, for instance, or lower salt. And that'll be reflected in their star rating. So time and a voluntary system was deemed at the time it was introduced as the best way to get industry to come along on the journey.
And what percentage are we at right now?
That was collated late last year and is just being finalised. It'll be presented to food ministers, the Trans-Tasman food ministers who oversee this early this year, probably around May.
Do you have a rough figure that you can give us?
No, I don't have that. It's available at the moment, no.
So it's not clear what percentage of packaged foods actually display the rating system at the moment. Late last year, Health Minister Shane Reti admitted he didn't think the system was fit for purpose anymore and indicated that National wanted to review it. But while this sounds like good news, Boyd Swinburne, who's a professor of population nutrition and global health at Auckland University, doesn't have much hope that the system will be mandated.
They've kept it as a voluntary system, despite all of the public health organisations saying this thing has to be mandatory for it to have any value. So now, they've said after 5 years, there needs to be Health Star ratings on at least 70% of the products. Otherwise, the government should consider making it mandatory. So still very soft language. But even if it doesn't get to 70%, it still takes a lot of bravery for a government to step up and do things in the public good, but against the private good of the food industry. That's the battle that the politicians have to run. One of the challenges is that this is a New Zealand and Australian system, and therefore all the agreements need to be across both countries. So you're dealing with the food industries in both countries. I mean, we've seen the power of a totally marginalised industry, the tobacco industry, and its power on influencing the current government in changing our smoke-free regulation. The food industry is way, way, way more powerful, way, way more mainstream accepted, and it's many times more important to the New Zealand economy. Dr. Reti has taken a look at this, he's questioned it, and this is great.
But Boyd thinks it needs to be taken further than just mandating the system.
Number one, have some warning labels on there which distinctly tell the consumer that this is high in sugar or salt or fat. And secondly, to add in other policies to make the difference as to whether this is going to really change consumer behaviour or industry behaviour.
So what are some of the other systems that we see overseas that you think would be better?
Latin America is leading the world in food policy. And so they have warning signs. It says this product is high in salt or sugar or saturated fat or whatever. The value with the system is not only the front of pack labelling system, which has to be mandatory. No company is ever going to put a warning label voluntarily on the front of pack. And they bring it along with other policies like restrictions on marketing of those foods, restrictions on health claims on those foods, aspects around what's taxed, what can be sold and provided in schools. This compulsory front of pack labelling, with these other policies to back it up, guides the consumers to healthy choices and changes their behaviour. And secondly, it influences the companies to reformulate their products to make them healthier.
But can't they just, in terms of, you know, let's say sugar for an example, replace real sugars with artificial sugars and make it lower in sugar? I mean, isn't that a way to bypass it?
That is, and that's true, and that's one of the lessons from the early implementation of this in Latin America, because the industry will work its way around whatever regulations it can. Now, the latest versions of it, like in Mexico and Colombia, they now have a label which is for artificial sweeteners, saying this is not suitable for children. So, yep, things like that need to be taken into account, but they're learning at a massive rate of knots in Latin America, and we're not taking advantage of any of that research, that understanding of how to have a good front-of-pack labelling system.
If you've got something, say, like a whole food bar that's made up of dates and nuts and coconut and stuff like that, then you've got another bar that's lower in sugar but it has a whole lot of artificial sweeteners and stuff like that, the one that would obviously have higher sugar would have a lower health star rating because it's higher in sugar, but it's natural sugars. So how does that stack up?
It stacks up really difficult,
yeah.
Actually. And there's been a long ongoing debate about how you can differentiate between those two examples you gave. So when you take the product and you just analyze it chemically, and one of them's got sugar which has come from inside the dates or the apricots or whatever and is wrapped up within the cells and it's still there, versus added sugar, you know, sucrose has been added to the product, biochemically you're not going to be able to tell the difference. But we do know that because the sugar is wrapped up within the cells, within a whole fruit, for example, then that doesn't have nearly the health consequences as the free added sugar. But being able to distinguish them and then codify it into this algorithm has proved to be really tricky, especially with the industry saying, this is impossible, you can't do it. They don't particularly want that exposed on their front of pack label, that this is full of added sugars as opposed to the sugars which come within fruits and vegetables and so on. So there is quite a lot of gaming of the algorithm and of the system by the industry. And what we have seen is that the algorithm contains elements which give it negative points, like salt and fat and sugar, and items which give it positive points, like fiber and protein and fruit and vegetables and so on. And so they have manipulated the foods to try to get a better rating, which is fine. We expect them to reformulate. And one of the ways the two main ways they've done it is to reduce salt and to increase fiber. But these differences are relatively small, actually. Whenever we've looked at how much the Health Star rating is influencing actual consumer behavior or actual industry behavior and reformulation, it's very small. It's often hard to detect. It's not statistically significant. It might be a few percent change. Whereas when you look at the Latin American data, where they have it mandatory, they have other policies that are brought in, the changes in consumer behaviours and in the industry behaviour is more like 10-20% shifts. So it's much, much more substantial.
Right. So you're saying that Kiwis and Australians don't actually really refer to the Health Star rating system when they're shopping?
They say they do. So when you do surveys of consumers, there's quite high numbers that say, oh, yes, we do use it. But when you measure the actual behaviour and the change in their purchases, as we have done, it's very, very hard to detect any shift from before the Health Star rating came in to since it's been implemented. And part of this is probably just because of the very low penetration of the Health Star into the system, with very few of the products having it on the front of pack.
Back to Vincent Arbuckle now, who seems to have a different view on things.
There's good evidence now, and we ran a survey last year, which is about to be published, which suggested that about 83% of consumers now use Health Star rating. And in 2018, there was a survey that suggested three quarters of New Zealand shoppers recognise Health Star rating. So I think there is a consumer demand and interest in the use of Health Star rating.
Okay, so the Health Star ratings are meant to be a quick and easy way to compare similar packaged foods and choose the healthier option. But is it accurate? Let's look at Nutrigrain. It has a Health Star rating of 4. So that must mean it's healthy, right? But a quick look at the nutrition panel identifies that just one cup, which is the recommended serving, contains over 9 grams of sugar. The public health recommended daily amount of sugar for the average adult is 25 grams, about 6 teaspoons. So just one serving of Nutrigrain takes up nearly a third of the advised intake, and that's just if you eat it straight from the packet. I asked Vincent what he thought of this.
I mean, it's a good point, and New Zealand Australia has done work, and we probably could do more to explain to consumers it is not an indication that that's a product that you want to eat, as I said before, 3 times a day. It is a cereal, but within a cereal category, relative to other cereals, one that has a 4-star rating is overall better for you from a health perspective than one that's a 2-star. Look, it is something we need to keep making sure that we do explain to consumers, that it's not saying cereal is a preferred food type. We do know that a balanced diet should be, you know, high in fruit and vegetables, grains, whole foods. Cereals are a part of a diet, but cereal should not be the dominant part of someone's diet.
In an ideal world, both Belinda and Boyd would like to see a mandatory front-of-pack labelling and better education around how to actually use the system. But the main takeaway is to remember food stars only give a brief depiction of a product's healthiness. Belinda advises shoppers who are wanting to make healthier choices to look at the back of the packet as well.
The Health Star rating is a helpful guide, just, you know, don't get me wrong, but just consider that it doesn't consider the amount of processing. So you need to check the ingredients list and also check the nutrition information panel as well. If you're deciding between 2 breakfast cereals, for example, check which ones have lower levels of sodium, saturated fat, and sugars. So those are really the 3 things to be looking for. And, you know, we say to people, especially with breakfast cereals, which are splashed with claims and, you know, trying to get your kids to nag for some of those brightly coloured ones, ignore those claims on the front. It's really that nutrition information panel in the back and the ingredients list that are really important to look at.
I mean, the bottom line for choosing healthy foods is to stick to the outside of the supermarket. You know, stick with the products that you can recognise, the whole foods, the fruit, vegetables, all the meat section, those things that you recognise.
Do you have any other tips of what people should look for if they are buying packaged food, what they should look for? For instance, let's just say like a breakfast cereal.
So if you want a breakfast cereal, you can look on the front and maybe the Health Star rating will be there. Maybe it won't, especially if it's one that's high in sugar and salt. But you can look on the back. Sometimes you need a nutrition degree to be able to interpret the nutrition information panel on the back. But if you look at the list of ingredients, sometimes that gives you a clue. If there's a long list, if it contains stuff you don't have in your kitchen, if it contains numbers of additives and colourings and flavourings, that's a warning sign that this is an ultra-processed food. So I would say keep those to a minimum.
That's all for this week. Thanks to Belinda Castles, Boyd Swinburne and Vincent Arbuckle. This episode was engineered by Phil Binge and produced by Alexia Russell. I'm Davina Zimmer. Kia pai tō rā whakatā.